Here in Proverbs 19:21, Solomon declared, "There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand." So we see that he has put into contrast the devices of a man's heart over against the counsel of the Lord. Now, God has created us with many marvelous capacities. We have the capacity of reason. We have the capacity of logic. We can think and understand in abstract terms. And this is marvelous, that the brain can form these logical sets, that is able to take the information, process it, analyze it, and come up with answers and solutions. And being created with these capacities, man finds a satisfaction in the solving of problems. Working crossword puzzles is fascinating. As you see the thing come together, you think and you look at it, and then it seems to flash in your mind, yes, that word will fit. And when the whole thing comes together, there's just such a satisfaction. You've solved the problem. You've answered the riddles. And we are challenged by problems. We love to work out these formulas and to see the thing all finally come together. And God has created us and designed us so that we can do these things. Games are usually involved with a element of chance combined with strategies. And that's why they're so fascinating. We play games, we throw dice, and it sort of puts the parameters for us. But then we like to figure out within those parameters the best moves and how to best work it and all. And thus we are challenged by the ability to use our brains and to solve certain problems. And life is filled with problems. It seems that we face a new set of problems every day. Now, there are some people that look at a problem and say, oh, no, not another problem. And there are others who see problems as challenges. All right, you know, what can we do with this situation? And it's only natural that we seek to find the solution to our problems. And when we find ourselves in a jam, we usually try to figure some scheme to get ourselves out. Now, criminal attorneys are really experts at this particular scheming to get a person out of a problem that he has created. Met a man who was a criminal attorney in Florida who said that he was very well known. He said when the criminal came to him and told him what the charges were and all, he would say, "Now look, don't you try to figure out what you're going to say. Let me work out your defense. And let me develop your story for you. Because I can develop a much more believable story for the jury than you can. I can make up a better lie than you. So you let me handle your defense." You see, you were arrested for snatching that little old lady's purse. Well, you just happened to be jogging down the street. It was such a beautiful day. You closed your eyes to just sort of meditate and pray. And you accidentally bumped into her, and your arm just happened to slip through the handle of her purse, and about a block down the street, you realize, oh, I've got that poor little lady's purse. And so just as you were turning around to go back and return it to her is when that mean police officer came up, and he treated you very brutally as he used undue force in putting you in the back of the police car, and he didn't really inform you of your rights for counsel, and he stopped you from returning the purse to that poor old lady, and you're awfully sorry that her arm was broken by the impact of your running into her and the purse being pulled away from her, you know. The scheming, you know, you've done something, and then, you know, you've been caught, and now all of this devising of the man's heart. And so Solomon sees that that man is great at devising answers. The devices of men are many. There are many people who are trying to devise a way to get rich without working. And they spend a lot of time just trying to develop schemes whereby they can get rich without having to go to work. That's really sort of the lure of the California lottery. Here is a method whereby you can get rich without working. You can get the big spin. And they're always playing up the winners. They never tell you about the millions of dollars and the millions of people who don't win every week. All you hear is about the one that won it, you know. And it's that lure. People realize that there is this kind of desire to get rich, and get rich quick, get rich without working. And so there are always those people who, if you can't figure out the device, they can figure out one for you. They've got the way. If you just invest your money with them, they can, you know. Invest your money and you'll get 50% back on your money in 6 months. And you're always reading of these people who have invested their life savings and all in some scheme that went sour. There are always the pyramids. There are always the Ponzi's. There are always the pigeon drops. You know, people are always devising means and ways of getting something the easy way. Now, that is not to say that all of the devices of a man's heart is evil. That would be totally wrong. God gave us the capacity to reason and to use logic, and I believe that God intended that we use these natural capacities that he has given to us. He expects us to think things through. He expects us to use our brains. That's why he gave them to us. And not all of the devices of man are evil. There are many legitimate business ventures where a person sees a need of a product or of a service, and he develops that product or service, and he markets that product, and you sit down and you develop your marketing strategy and the whole thing, and you put it into operation, and there is the legitimate using of your brain and the devices, working things out. However, it must be noted that there have been a lot of broken dreams. People have devised all of the strategies and all, but somehow they didn't work. I think of all of the business ventures that have turned sour. I think of how many of the missions into space have had to be scrubbed. a lot of thought, a lot of planning, a lot of devices, but yet something can go awry. And how many times my ideas have gone awry? I thought they were a great idea. I thought that I'd really planned it out, but there were things that I didn't take into consideration. And it was those unknown factors that sunk the ship. Now, because of our failure rate, we would like to make sure that the decision we're making is the right one. And I'm amazed that people actually believe that the position of the stars and planets can be critical in the decision that they make, the actions that they take. And they wouldn't think of leaving on a vacation tomorrow because the planets are not in the right alignment. I'll have to wait until the end of the month, and the 19th of June, things will change, and that will be the day that I should take this venture or whatever. And they actually seek astrologers to work out personal horoscopes so that they can guide their lives. And intelligent people do this. And that's the thing that amazes me. That people will read their horoscopes and they use them as a Bible to guide their lives. And they don't buy, they don't sell, they don't go somewhere unless they first call the astrologer and say, you know, what's it look like for me today? This is what I was planning to do. That amazes me that people would go for that kind of stuff. There are people who are otherwise brilliant people who actually call up psychics to get advice and counsel. I don't know what it does for you, but when I read that many of our presidents have called Jean Dixon to get her advice on foreign policy and things, it troubles me. And in her book, she tells about the different presidents who have called her and have sought her counsel on the issues of state. Now, I have wondered why the newspapers don't pick up on something like this and put a chill in all of our hearts by saying, do you know who is really directing the foreign policy of the nation? The crystal ball of Jean Dixon. It was interesting to me that when some of the presidential candidates were interviewed by the paper, and they were asked by the reporters, if you were facing a difficult problem, would you pray and seek God's guidance? And the candidate said, yes, I would pray and ask God to guide. And so then they come out in the press, you know, do you want this kind of a man to be leading the nation who doesn't have enough sense to make his own decisions but would actually seek God to guide the nation? You know, and they make it like that's some awful, you know, oh, surely we're in terrible shape if a man like that were in the presidency who was asking God to guide him. You know, how desperate can the nation be? Better Jean Dixon with her crystal ball. We have confidence in that. But any man who would trust in God surely isn't qualified to lead the nation and to make the decisions that are necessary, that are so vital, that affect all of our lives. Something's wrong and incongruous here. All of these things attest to the truth of the first part of this proverb. There are many devices in man's heart. Man is constantly devising. some scheme or another. In contrast, the proverb declares, the counsel of the Lord to the device of man's heart, the counsel of the Lord. Now, to me, it is always an amazing thing to think that God is interested enough in me that he will guide my life if I let him. That God even thinks about me is just overwhelming. I just can't really conceive of it fully. David said, "Thou thinkest, Lord, of me. And if I should number your thoughts towards me, they are more than the sands of the sea in number." And when I think of the vastness of God, that God would think about me, be constantly thinking about me, and would be willing to counsel me, to guide me. It just is almost more than I can assimilate. But the Bible says he's not only willing to guide me, he is wanting to guide me. He wants me to place the issues of my life before him to receive his guidance. An earlier proverb we read, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Don't lean to your own understanding. But in everything, just acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. The prophet, as he was speaking about the coming Messiah, declared, and his name shall be called the Wonderful Counselor. The fact that I can go to God for counsel, I can go to God for direction, I can go to God for advice, that always just causes me to just stand in awe, to think that God will counsel me, God will advise me, God will guide my life. As we sang, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. And he will, if I just seek his guidance. When you make Jesus the Lord of your life, that's what it is all about. It's turning the reins over to him. It's letting him be in control. Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. In other words, let me have the reins of your life. Let me begin to guide your life. That's what the Lordship of Christ is all about. Submitting myself to his guidance, to his wisdom. Now, doesn't it seem to make sense to seek the counsel of the Lord? Because he's omniscient. He knows the end from the beginning. Many times when I develop my devices, I figure out my answers or the move that I feel I should make. I move and then I hope I made the right move. God never does that. God never moves and then thinks, oh, I hope that's the right move. Oh, I hope I didn't make a mistake. Because he knows the end from the beginning. And when one who has such wisdom is willing to guide me, It is sheer folly that I would seek to go on in my own wisdom, in my own limited understanding, and seek to direct my own life. And yet we seem to do that, and we're always, it seems, finding ourselves in a real mess because things didn't turn out as we hoped they would turn out. There were other factors that weren't considered, and now the whole thing is in shambles, you know. And usually I don't pray until it's impossible. It's such a mess I can't seem to figure any way out. And then I say, well, Lord, guide me now. Where had I sought his guidance in the beginning, I probably would have never been in such a mess. But that just seems to be human nature, doesn't it? How do I seek the counsel of the Lord? First of all, I seek it through prayer. I've gotten to the place now where I don't like to get out of bed in the morning until I first of all say, Lord, guide me today. Lead me in your path. Work out your plan, Lord, in my life. I want to be open. I want to be sensitive. I want to be led by your Spirit today in accomplishing, Lord, your purpose and your plan that you have for my life today. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He will direct your path. And then I seek the guidance of the Lord through the Word. God has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness in the Scriptures. And the prophet said, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what the Lord requires of you. And so there in the Word of God, we receive guidance. We receive direction. Oh, that we would only follow the instructions that God has given to us in his Word. Now, there are those who are going around seeking guidance from self-proclaimed prophets. Those who say they are prophets of God. And they go up and they say, has God showed you anything about me lately? I have people do this to me and it sort of baffles me. What has God been telling you about me? And they're seeking, you see, rather than just going to God and saying, Lord, what are you telling me about me? They want some man to be an intermediary for them, one who will sort of get God's word for them. And there are those out there that says, hey, I have the word of God for you, brother. I saw this vision. And these people that are constantly trying to get interpretations for their dreams or interpretation for their visions. I had the wildest dream. It was this and that and the other. What does this dream mean? Well, it meant you shouldn't have had onions on the hamburger before you went to bed. But people who, you know, I see this or I see that, I see trees that are blowing in the wind and bending and swaying, and I see, you know, a bird in the tree, and then, you know, they have these abstract visions, and then they try to give some kind of an interpretation for these visions. I think of the prophet Jeremiah who wrote, if a prophet hath a dream, let him tell his dream. But he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. For what is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord? You've got the word of God. That's the wheat. You see, the problem with a lot of people is they're trying to live on chaff. They're trying to nourish themselves spiritually with chaff. Oh, they put sugar and milk on it and try and swallow it, but it still catches in your throat. I mean, chaff is just, it's not nutritionally good for you. What we need is the Word of God. He that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. There is substance. There is the wheat. There is the nourishment for you in a spiritual sense. There you receive, and you can be sure that you have received the true counsel of the Lord. I have friends who have encountered real disasters in their lives because they have followed the advice of a self-proclaimed prophet. I don't know of anybody who has really had disaster when they followed the Word of God, the Scriptures. The devices of a man's heart are many, but the counsels of the Lord, the proverb says, they shall stand. The problem with the devices of a man's heart, they so often fail. There are the broken dreams that create the shattered lives. We read concerning King Jehoshaphat that he had these ships built in Tarshish, a great navy, in order that he might bring gold from Ophir to enhance his coffers there in Jerusalem. Great scheme, great plan. Get these ships and we'll just haul all this gold out of Africa here to Jerusalem. The problem was they didn't haul any gold on their way to Ophir. They were in a storm and the whole navy ended in the rocks at Eziongeber. The schemes of man, the devices so often go sour. But the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. You can know that if you are following the counsel of God, it's going to turn out okay. You can have that confidence. God is in control. I've committed it unto the Lord. The Lord is guiding me. And thus I know the end result is going to be good. For the counsels of the Lord, they shall stand. For if God be for you, who can be against you? Shall we pray? Father, we thank you that we can come to you for counsel, for guidance, for direction for our lives. And that in all of our ways, you desire, Lord, for us to just seek your counsel and your guidance. And so, Lord, we pray that we might forsake the devices of our own heart, which so often lead to disaster and to failure, and that we would seek, Lord, your counsel that shall stand. In Jesus' name, amen. It's very possible that many of you this morning are here because your life is a mess. You were following your own devices. They've backfired. And now things are just totally shot. You don't know where to turn. You don't know what to do. How wonderful it is that you can take all of those loose, mixed up threads and put them into the hands of the Lord, and you'll be amazed at the beautiful pattern that he can weave out of something that is such a total mess. When you take your life and just put it in God's hands, He can turn things around. He can begin to guide and direct you to where even you will stand back in amazement at what the Lord has done. Because you couldn't see any way out. To you, it was totally hopeless. It was all over. And yet God is able, with His advice, with His counsel, which shall stand, He's able to take and make sense out of the chaos and confusion that your life has become. I would encourage you to go back to the prayer room and there just take the whole thing and just lay it, dump it on Him and say, Lord, here it is. It's all messed up. I was following my devices and they messed things up. And Lord, I just turn it over to You. Guide me, O Thou great Jehovah. And the beautiful thing is God will take you by the hand. He'll begin to lead and guide you into His perfect plan for your life. And how do you know but what this whole mess isn't a part of His plan just to get you to turn to Him? May the Lord be with you and watch over and guide you with His counsel this week. As you walk in fellowship with Him, may the Lord lead you in His path of righteousness for Jesus' sake.